Hey, Incomplete listeners, thanks once again for tuning in. Just wanted to place a little lead-in on this episode to let you know this is our final episode of the show. We've all been a bit too tied up with studies and work, but Francesca, Jamie, Spencer, and I want to thank everyone that's listened, and know you have the warmest farewell from all of us. Hello and welcome to the 11th episode of Indie Complete from MonsterVine.com. My name is Kyle Haste, I'm one of your two hosts today, here with developer Francesca Carletto Leone.
Hello, how's it going?
Very good. It is the first beautiful day in a million years here in Canada.
I know, it's been so sunny and warm and wonderful. The day just got even better because Mike just brought me chicken nuggets.
Oh, well, man.
Thank you.
Hello, Mike. Oh, man, I can't compete with that. But it is sunny. I drove in my car with the windows down, my elbow out the window, and I was like...
Yeah, so nice.
Yeah. But I also just finished my school semester, which I'm happy about, and is also part of why Spencer is not here today, because his university is on strike, so he's kind of like buried under, I guess, no homework, or like the suspense of like,
yeah,
I could
so
have
busy.
Homework and like exams anytime,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, so busy.
And
not doing school.
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't really question him. He was just like, yeah, so. We'll let the internet doubt him with us. And Jamie is not well, actually. I have a note saying he died of internal laughter, but that's just
rest
a joke.
In peace, Jamie.
Yeah. I think he's got an ear thing, so I guess like podcasting would probably
would not be a good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, of all the things to have. You'd be like, I broke my foot and be like, that sounds like you can still play
you
a lot
can,
of games.
You can still podcast. Come on.
And for this month's game, we have
Butterfly Soup for PC, Mac, and Linux, released May 29th, 2017, by developer Brianne Lay. So Butterfly Soup is a visual novel in which we jump into the lives of a group of queer Asian American high school students playing baseball, going to school, falling in love, and finding their way despite their family situations and sometimes personal differences.
Also, technically our second sports game.
That's true.
What was our... Golf Story was like...
The golf one, yeah.
And nothing sports related since then, unless like decapitation counts, because I'm sure
is
we
that
put
a sport?
A few games.
Wasn't aware.
But before we get into Butterfly Soup, let's jump into New and Noteworthy. And
whoop, whoop.
I've got Francesca listed up front.
All right. So a couple of things that I wanted to mention for New and Noteworthy. One of them is Swords of Ditto, which is it's kind of like a roguelike. But as you play through the game and your hero goes on these like awesome little quests, if your character dies, you can actually start with another character, but you're able to find like the loot that you dropped before. So every time you you like start with a new hero, you're still kind of working towards the same goal or the same end.
Yeah, like the adventure resets, but
yeah,
time and history itself does not.
Yeah, so you kind of like your previous characters become like a legend of this world, which is really cool. And also the art style is just like the cutest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, oh, it looks like a kind of like the Saturday morning cartoon, and the animation quality and frames and per second and everything looks
yeah, like... right? It's so colorful.
Yeah,
so that's for PC and PS4. And I'm really excited to play it.
Yeah, and it's got, I think it was a local co-op?
Yeah, so it's local co-op. I think it also has online, I think.
I looks
sure.
Like it might not be online co-op, at least from the Steam
okay,
page.
Okay, it's only local,
but,
yeah.
I could be wrong. I hope I'm wrong, because I haven't had an online co-op game since, like, Left 4 Dead.
So it does support local co-op. We do know that. Supports controllers. Yeah, it just looks, like, super, super cute.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one, because it reminds me a lot of Zelda as well, like the old style ones, which we don't see too much anymore. Like, I guess we kind of did with the 3DS one, A Link Between Worlds, which was mm-hmm. absolutely amazing. And I love those type of games for a good reason. And I'm excited to see this one. Looks like it's being unique in its own way, so I don't mean to be like, hey, every game is like some other game, but
I think the developers even have like drawn like comparisons or
like
inspiration from Zelda, so yeah, they hello Olive's here to cuddle. Because like the way that it's kind of structured is that like if your hero dies, they become a legend in this world, and you kind of show up as a hero that's like in the same world and picking up the same plot line, but it's like a decade later or something. So it is kind of like how the different Zelda games are structured, right? Where it's still this legendary hero throughout time.
True.
Yeah. So I think that's really cool.
I'm just curious if you could like ask around about like your past self. Like, I don't know if it's like necessarily being reincarnated or anything like that, or if it's just like you're just some different
Yeah, no, I think it's just you're a different person. But
if you like ask around, yeah. Like, yeah, that wreck on people named Janet, but man, Janet was not nice. You'd be like, what?
Oh, I thought you were gonna say Jamie.
Oh yeah, Jamie. Yeah, Jamie, that last guy who was around here, you'd see those bones on the street there. What a dick. You'd be like, why didn't you like him? Is there anything he could do better next time to not be hated?
To not be the worst.
Yeah. I bet you could do that.
That would be really cool. I would like that a lot. Yeah, if they like reference. I mean, I guess like you're making changes to the world as you play.
I just am concerned, like, if, like, oh, you found some loot, and, like, you found, like, a picture of somebody's family beside it. Like, oh, no, Jamie had kids.
He had four kids.
Four kids named Jamie and James.
Yeah, Jonathan. But I'm excited to check that out. So that's being published by Devolver Digital and another game on my new and noteworthy, which came out recently, is Minute, also published by Devolver Digital. Yeah, Minute is really interesting. It's also got a very like cutesy like art style to it. Mm-hmm. And so the premise of that one is that like you're an adventurer in this world, but you're only able to like, I guess it's like each day or each like life you have, like you only have 60 seconds to accomplish something and then it resets, which sounds very stressful to me. I'm not like, everyone who's played it has told me it's phenomenal and the mechanic is really great. I haven't tried it yet.
I'm curious how like that would work. Is like every single adventure can be done within 60 seconds after you've died enough times to really learn the puzzle that you've found somewhere in the field or whatever, or a dungeon?
I guess so, yeah, because I guess it's like it's like Swords of Ditto where you're making slow progress towards an end goal.
Yeah, or maybe it's like there's a puzzle, but like you have to like kind of die trying just to progress the puzzle. The puzzle remains at its level of completion. Say you've completed 20% of it by flipping switches and whatnot. And then the next time you can run through that area that you took so long to get through and you're going to get further. So I wonder if like, I'm guessing it's probably not like that because that would seem like frustrating. It's like I've got this artificial thing happening where I die after 60
seconds.
Yeah,
that's why I'm so curious about it and how... if they managed to make it not feel frustrating. Yeah, so I'm really curious about
I pick that one up because I think you said it's like $10 or something, and that interests me. I'm curious to see, like, I'm glad when developers try a new mechanic. It isn't necessarily just, well, I guess some other games have had things where you die eventually, but this one's quite short. So I'm interested to see how they pull it off, especially considering the word of mouth you pointed out.
No, I'm very curious about it. I actually just also took a look at the website, which I recommend checking out. They do like a cute thing with like scrolling in the style of the game, where as you scroll down the website, the character is like moving through the world that you get to see.
Snap, I gotta open this.
In the game. Yeah, it's a very, very cute website. And the art style it's like black and white pixel art. It keeps it very like very, very classic, which I think
this is
cool.
A beautiful website.
Isn't
so
that great?
Charming.
It's very well done. It's very charming.
Sold.
But also, so
when he goes back,
part of new and noteworthy, since I am a developer, I pay attention to all of the different like drama and things that people are talking about. This isn't really a drama, but something that people were talking about recently, after the game was released, and Devolver has been putting out a lot of like videos and stuff on their Twitter. And some random dude on Twitter was asking, or he made a claim that like, oh, indie games are like 15 years behind where games should be in terms of technology, referring, I guess, to the pixel art.
Right.
And then like asking like, oh, Devolver, like, are you publishing this because you genuinely think it's a good game, or are there other reasons? It was very strange. So I think people or developers on Twitter kind of like were pushing back against that idea that like pixel art is like an outdated, not beautiful, valid
not
form
appealing.
Of art for your game. I don't know.
Were they winning that debate?
Yeah, no, I mean, this was just like some random person who was making these claims. Or I guess like their opinions, this person's opinions, which is fine. But yeah, I really hate the stance that like pixel art is, one, easy to make, because if you make, like, good pixel art and animations, that shit takes forever.
Yeah, you can't just, like, buy models of of things or pre-done things. Like, you might be able to get out of an engine or middleware.
So I think so. Like, it's such a valid form of art. And I also think, particularly in this game, which is, like, a short, quick game, like, even the choice that they make it black and white, just so everything is so, like, defined and easily recognizable, and you can move through the world so quickly, right? It makes more sense for it to look like this. Like, that's the best visual aesthetic they could have gone with for this particular game and this game mechanic.
Mm. And it's like they're hitting on, like, the charm of nostalgia if you're looking at pixel art from that point of view too. I'm like, that's not a bad thing to work from a nostalgic point of view in terms of visual look. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't understand. Pixel art's so cool.
Bad hill to die on.
It's hard. I can't do it. Yeah. So check out Minute. It's already out, and you can play it. And I'm definitely gonna at least try it.
Man, so many things rhyme with that game.
Minute,
gonna get it.
Gonna get it.
I guess it's just Minute. It, really.
And then the last game I wanted to mention, which looks really interesting, is a game called Murderous Pursuits. So it's a game where you are a character on you're on, like, a boat, like a kind of like a cruise ship, and you are tasked with murdering someone else on the ship, but you have to do it sneakily and, like, stealthily and not draw attention to yourself. Someone else on the ship is also trying to kill you.
Sounds like a D&D campaign I'm currently in.
Basic, right?
Must murder for the greater good.
Yeah, but it's basically like this stealth game where I guess, like, maybe you can, like, pretend to be an NPC or something, and you're, like, trying to be sneaky. So someone's trying to kill you, you're trying to kill someone else. I presume they're trying to kill someone else.
Do you remember the online modes in Assassin's Creed 3, I think it was?
Yeah, that's, like, what it was reminding me of, and, like, those were really fun.
Yeah, I was like, I'm just sleeping over here. Oh, the stabs are happening!
Yeah, that was so much fun. Like, in that mode. So, you would pick a character model that was also just normally present in this world.
Oh.
So it was kind of like people were walking around trying to act like NPCs.
I'm just vomiting over the edge of the boat here. Nothing to see.
The Assassin's Creed one was really cool because if you were good at playing it was because you had memorized, like, the movement patterns of the NPCs, and you're able to completely blend in, right? Which is the point of, like, Assassin's Creed is, like, you know, being sneaky. So, like, people would, like, walk with crowds at the perfect pace, right? But if someone's walking slightly faster, it's like, you know, that's a player and not an NPC.
I wonder what happens in this game, Murderous Pursuits, if you stab somebody that's not the killer. I'm guessing that's how you lose the game, sort of.
Yeah, something like avenue. That. So, yeah, no, it seems really cool, and I'm glad more people are, like, playing with that idea.
What's the platforms?
Oh, I don't know.
I'm guessing PC, because indie game developers are in the know. That's really handy. Oh, I see Steam.
Probably.
Cool. Well, it's on PC at least.
Oh, it's actually out on April 26th.
Holy smokes.
So, yeah, Steam on April 26th.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Sweet. So let's see here. So for my basket of goods for new Northern, I just finished a bunch of economics classes, so everything's a basket of goods. Ask me about it on Twitter. But the game I was interested in, I think a teaser trailer came out sometime in March, and the game is called Way of the Woods. Have you seen this, Francesca?
Yeah. So because this was a game that I think, like, became really popular about, like, 3 years ago or something.
Yeah, like a really young developer. Sorry to cut you off there.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. But so I found out about it then previously, but I didn't know it was, like, actually coming out, and I'm so excited.
Yeah, so a really young developer's been working on this for a while, and I picked up a publisher sometime recently. I can't remember if it was Devolver or the guys that published Night in the Woods, something with an I.
Finji.
Wow, I was way off. Oh, no, I guess there's two I's in there. Pretty close.
Is it Finji?
I could be wrong. Let's see. Finji, Way of the Woods. Doesn't look like it. Maybe?
Oh, so it's... The publisher is Team 17, which is, I guess, it says the label responsible for crowdfunding projects Allison Road and Ukulele.
Oh, nice. Ukulele, I think, is the... that's the Banjo-Kazooie developers, I think. But
yes.
Way of the Woods is coming in 2019 for PC and console, so TBA for the platforms exactly. But basically, deers go on a adventure. It's like fully 3D, beautiful, like in the sense of like playing Journey. It was beautiful, really mm-hmm. attention to detail.
Yeah.
And basically, they're interacting with other animals in the environment. In a world without humans. To quote the developer precisely from their Steam page, or at least their website, two deer in a strange, abandoned world without humans must find their way home. Find food, shelter, safety, and answers on your way to the woods. Way to the Woods is a third-person adventure game. And the website's waytothewoodsgame.com. Definitely recommend checking out, because just that trailer alone, it really looks like it's going to be a special game when it eventually comes out, and mm-hmm. I'm really interested. I don't know a ton about it other than deers go on an adventure through the woods, but...
And it's beautiful.
Yeah, and charming. It's nice to have, like, mm-hmm. a slower-paced game, or at least from the looks of it, that you can kind of experience and not have to have too much adrenaline rush all the time sort of thing. So I'm looking forward to that one. And then also recently... a bunch of new and remastered indie games were announced to be heading to the Nintendo Switch this year, including Hyper Light Drifter, which we've played in a previous episode, Firewatch, which is a pretty well-known indie game, Undertale, same story, and then also Pool Panic was announced. There was a bunch of them. I highlight Pool Panic in particular. It's an Adult Swim developed game, like the cartoon company, and looks really charming. I used to play a lot of Yahoo Pool, and this one looks funny and like... put like every like they threw the kitchen sink in terms of the amount of modes they have related to cartoony unrealistic pool.
Yeah, and that's awesome. Yeah, Adult Swim has been making a lot of like cool smaller mm-hmm. games.
Unexpectedly surprising, considering they're like, you know, big corporation linked, at least in terms of like as a cartoon network.
Yeah. So like Adult Swim was like the nighttime programming for Cartoon Network.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, it's smart on their part. Good to know your audience.
Yeah, definitely smart. I mean, yeah, they made, Robot Unicorn, I think, was, like, their first big thing that
right.
they made.
Yeah, and I played Steven Universe Find the Light or something on the iOS and Android. It's quite good. Mm-hmm. Then also got, coming to the Switch, West of Loathing, which is, I think, being out on PC, probably. It's, I put in notes here, Western RPG, so don't think, like, Skyrim, but, like, Cowboys Western. And then RPG, it's kind of like a semi-side scrolling, like you can move up and down like those old arcade games across the screen, but mostly moving to the right, and then you get these random battles and RPG-style battles, and everybody's like a stick figure.
Yeah, really, I think that's the coolest part of it.
Yeah, and then Pode, I think I'm pronouncing that correctly. Mm-hmm. There's like a rock ball and then a fire orb go on an adventure together and solve puzzles. Basically, these really cutesy... like orb and rock, and
they have
like
so cute.
Little arms and little legs and little and eyes and everything. It's very cute looking. So,
mm-hmm.
and then the thing I'm probably most excited about is Lumines, I think, or Lumines, or however you want to pronounce it. That PSP game back in the day, and they had ones on, I think, PS3 and maybe PS4. It's kind of like if you turn Tetris sideways and put a lot of really good music in it, and then instead of just trying to clear lines of blocks at your command in Tetris, though you have incoming blocks at the game's own pace, in Lumines, you kind of like stack up blocks just on in a rectangular area, and then every few seconds a line crosses from left to right on the screen. Oops, I just hit F11. A line crosses the screen, and any... blocks, there's usually two colors going on that you've mashed up to at least make a square or any sort of polygon that's at least a square and connected to it directly. It'll clear those blocks out. So you should check out a trailer to really understand what it looks like, but it's really nice and get slower and faster and throw all sorts of weird block patterns at you.
Cool.
So that one's really good. So I'm excited because I think the Game Maker engine was ported to the Switch, and there's a couple games like Undertale and Hyper Light Drifter that are based on that in particular.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really opening up more, even more indies could come to the Switch.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Yeah, so it's a bright future for the Switch. I think I'm going to have to get one very soon.
Join us.
Yeah, we'll just have to drag Spencer in. We'll see if his school ever comes back. Anyway, so I think that wraps up our new and noteworthy. On to our main segment, Butterfly Soup, which, as Francesca mentioned, is developed by Brianne Lay, who is a solo developer.
Yeah.
Though in the credits you'll see she seems to have worked with others for like the music she sourced and things like that, but she basically put it all together and did the art and whatnot, which is very impressive considering, spoilers, I liked the game quite a lot. And it's just impressive for just one person to put together a game that took me several hours to finish.
Yeah.
But as Francesca mentioned earlier, the game is basically a visual novel about gay Asian girls playing baseball and falling in love. And this is quoting the developer directly, including the features of Harold, they're lesbians, 3 to 4 hours long, memes, don't know if you've heard about these, and the game is free, but you can support the developer by buying the bonus art PDF, which I did buy and have not read yet, but I looked at all the art and it looks really awesome. And it's kind of cool to see the stages of art development for characters and be like, oh, so they were kind of clueless at the beginning of designing 72, then they just kept working at it. That's so
wow, so cool. Inspiring.
It's inspiring. Crying. It's 30 pages of the developer rambling plus, to quote the developer, plus extra sketches, many of which have never been posted anywhere else. And then there's a little asterisk saying, because it said, Harold, they're lesbians. Asterisk, except not really one of them is bi. But who? Murder mystery. So how the game opens is interesting because these characters, how you mostly see their art and whatnot, is them in grade 9 of high school. But the game opens in the summertime between 3rd and 4th grade. There's 4 kids on this like playground. What do you call a playground set? Like playground equipment? And they're pretending it's a castle.
Just playground.
What do you call a playground that's got metal stuck in the ground that they climb on?
Yeah.
So that's their castle. So the evil dragon, Hayden, who's one of the kids, has captured Princess Dia. And there's also Minzio, or Min for short, and she tries to save the princess using bullets.
A gun
that shoots bullets. I guess bullets by themselves would be pretty useless. But the bullets that are shot from these guns are useless on the dragon and its scaly exterior. And in fact, everyone's bullets are useless. The other person there being Min's twin brother, Junzio. But Min has a special weapon and shoots her gun that shoots out a smaller gun that shoots a knife, which injures the evil dragon's elbow.
Yeah, that's pretty lethal.
And they're all talking through this whole thing, so it's not just like this is all happening rapid fire. They're all arguing over if this injures the dragon or not. Oh, hey, this is BS. I'm doing the thing. But once Min has injured the dragon's elbow, Min goes in for the tackle but misses the dragon and stumbles. And it's the ever-strong Dia who throws the evil dragon off the playground equipment when Min can't see. Min turns around and declares victory, having not seen that Min didn't save anything, but claims victory for saving Princess Dia as they slide down the slide together. I owe you my life. How can I repay you? Dia says. You can repay me with a kit, says Min as they crash at the bottom of the slide. So it opens with that, and it's kind of the style of the whole game as a visual novel. Francesca might be able to better describe what visual novels are like in general and how their mechanics work. But actually, now might be a good time for that before I try to paint a whole picture of the
All
game.
Right, yeah.
Could you introduce us to visual novels?
Yeah. So yes, we talked about visual novels a little bit in another episode when we played Nina Freeman's Kimmy,
right.
Which is also a visual novel. But so visual novels are how would I describe it? I mean, so they're text based narrative games, usually including like still images of like the environments, the setting, and the characters. So that's where you get the visual portion of the visual novel. But so these stories are basically, like branching narrative that you can make different choices, which changes like how the narrative branches or how you experience the story. So the format of Butterfly Soup is extremely linear, where it's basically just telling you this story of this cast of characters, but you get to kind of make decisions as you go along this story. Yeah. So some other visual novels, they actually, you know, if we talk about the classic like dating sim, so dating sims, you kind of like you romance different potential partners through visual novel style gameplay.
Right.
And those basically, or the usual style is that you go on like a character's route, kind of. So at some point the narrative branches so much that you're kind of on this like, you're on this side branch that is pretty much only interacting with that character. Or like following their story. So the idea is that you would play it multiple times and check out the different branches, and figure out how the endings would change. But so Butterfly Soup, as far as I know, I mean, there's only one ending. But so like how you get there,
as far as I experienced it, I'm guessing we probably both got the same ending.
Yeah. So how you get there just, changes a little bit, and, they add, elements where you have to like click on objects or, decide how characters respond to each other. And that alters the story, a little bit, or how you experience it. But ultimately the narrative is pretty linear.
I really appreciated, I guess, just to kind of jump into our initial thoughts on the game with what you described in mind. I'm kind of glad it wasn't a dating sim, because I really liked how this game really brought to my attention, at least, and I'm sure had several things in mind as their goals for players to experience from this game. But representation in games was a big part of it I was playing it. And I'm glad it wasn't a dating sim, so that I could really be thinking about that the whole time, because they did that like super well. Not to knock dating games, I'm sure there's some phenomenally put together ones where they can do both.
Dream Daddy.
Yeah, exactly. But with this approach, it also kind of like, I don't know if I'll be any good at dating sim games. I feel like there's might be amount of stress involved, maybe. Whereas this one kind of took care of that for you. You get to experience it and you're like, yay, I know I'm getting the good ending because there's only one. and that sort of thing. So I really like that. Then, like, you do get a lot of dialogue choices throughout, and they'll have like different reactions. So I guess your own individual playthrough might be slightly different in how you think they connected or not, but it'll probably be mostly the same as other players. So I like that, because like the representation in the game was really awesome. Like, yeah, one thing, talking about representation in games, I personally haven't played any games, really seen any media myself on the topic of figuring out your queer. I'm sure there's lots out there. I just really haven't come in contact with them myself.
Yeah, there is lots, but it's not, I mean, yeah, you don't get a lot of like queer coming out love stories. I mean, there was a movie recently, but yeah, no, especially in games, it's not something that is like, or I mean, there's a lot of like queer games and queer content that people are making, but it never tends to be like, I don't know, like widely popular, famous. I mean, so that's why I was really excited that this game being like a free, like a free visual novel on itch.io was like nominated for an IGF award this year. And that's like, that's such a big deal. And that's such like a thing to celebrate, I think. Yeah. So I was really excited about that.
I guess one point, I do want to keep talking about representation, but to jump back, is if you have never played a visual novel, I think this would be a great one to start with.
I agree.
You're probably very familiar with most of the elements this game uses for how its mechanics work and whatnot. If you played any role-playing game that involves really any story, it's kind of like, well, I haven't really played a bunch of BioWare games, but if you just that's what I've heard. But if you should take away the part where you're shooting things and chopping and all those things, what the other part that's left, that is usually what I see that the fan base is mostly talking about for years on end. That's the part that's distilled in Butterfly Soup. And I think part of why I like it so much, because it was just working through it, was felt like I was doing a role-playing game, but I didn't have to worry about like grinding afterwards. Speaking of representation, I made a little note here for myself. This game really warmed my heart, because although I'm certainly able to understand the concept of representation in games as a white dude that really does not make direct contact with me very much, but I am also queer, so seeing this story unfold was really amazing for me because it's like the first time I've really connected on that sort of level and being thinking of like, this isn't really, you don't really see this too often. Mm-hmm. And like, I think another, like there's probably been other stories and things that I have seen. I didn't really find things out for myself till well into my 20s. So it was, I was really kind of envious watching this too, because they're all in high school. And I was like, man, I wish I knew that sort of thing in high school. They're having some really important experiences right now.
Yeah, but I do think, yeah, it's something that people can definitely relate to. Like also being queer was something that I identified with, but I think like
there's other avenues even, to identify with.
Yeah,
as well.
I think even if you're not, I think these characters are, you know, they have so much to them that you can really like relate to. It's even just like being awkward,
tough parent situations.
Yeah, tough parent situations. Telling jokes all the time because if you're serious, then people are going to think you're actually trying. And then when you fuck up, it'll be embarrassing. Like,
or telling jokes because you're like kind of dying inside. But if you're funny all the time, then yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's like there's a lot of things in there that I think people will really relate to. And I also think the writing and the way that the characters talk and express themselves is just super relatable.
Yeah. It keeps surprising me how well it's put together than these characters. Like when I'm writing, I'm always fearful that I'm like, oh, what if I just choose like a typical archetype and then people are consuming my content and they're like, wow, this is really typical sounding. Whereas with this one, I can like, you can see the distinct differences between characters, and you could choose one of their traits and be like, oh, well, choose the quiet one. She like has, I guess, to, for lack of a better phrase, three-dimensional characters, where it's not just like, okay, yeah, she's quiet, but there's way more to Dia than that. And same for all the other characters. So there's like their strongest trait, I guess. But then there's so many other ones involved too. They're like, wow, they're like a real person, like that I know in real life.
Yeah, right. And I think it's like this game is entertaining because it is a little bit over the top, but not too much so that it's ever like unbelievable. I think like they say a lot of dumb shit and they do a lot of like pranks that maybe a lot of people would not do to their friends, but it's like, it's not so far-fetched that you completely like are like, oh, whatever, this is just like, you know, some silly game or whatever.
It's nothing you wouldn't have seen in other media.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think about, like the stuff that I used to do in high school, and I was like, yeah, I did dumb shit like that as well. Maybe not, like, so over the top, but, you know, it is something that you're like, oh, yeah, that's, like, you know, how people act.
Yeah, I did some over-to-the-top stuff, so I'm like, It's like one time we had, like, powdered donuts, and we put the powder under our nose and walked around. I was like, I wonder which teachers will notice.
Oh,
they're like,
God.
Are you on drugs? Like, nope, they're donuts.
Yeah, it's like things like that where you're just like, let's see what would happen, and also like, our lives otherwise are boring and sometimes bad, and let's, you know, find ways that we can like spoof it up and just be completely over the top.
Yeah, I think one example that comes to mind might have popped to your mind too from the game is when Noelle is feeling ill before a gym class, but is super stressed out because that's her like worst class, but her parents have extreme expectations for her, so she's still trying to still go to that class despite the fact that she's basically fainting in front of Dia and Akasha, and then Akasha is like, okay, I can fix this, and I think at that point in the story you're playing from Dia's perspective, and she's like, do you want to know or not know? And I said I don't want to know because I wanted her to go do it. I didn't know if like my dialogue choice would change whether she actually did the thing or not. So she goes in, rigs the school fire alarm to play, I think, the Super Mario Brothers theme off. So although that was a bit over the top in terms of like what I would see in my high school time, it wasn't so much of a stretch that I didn't like break my enjoyment of the experience. I enjoyed, especially when the tune started playing, and then it did progress the story, so she didn't have to go to class, so things like that. And that's about as over top as it gets, I would say, and for lack of a better word.
Yeah, man, like playing this game, so I was playing it like with headphones on, like at my computer, and my partner Mike was trying to play another game across the room behind me on the TV, and I was like laughing so hard that he was like he could not like play his game. I was laughing so hard. Just at like in multiple moments. Like it wasn't even just like one time where I was just like, that joke got me good. And it was like the whole game. I was just like sitting there dying. Like it's great.
I was like, I wish I was Akasha. She's just so funny.
And really? I was like, oh my God.
Well, all of them.
Too much.
Oh, she's so good. And all her reactions was just like, I know people like that at work, and like Min will always be, or not always, since they caught on pretty quickly. But initially it was butting heads with the Akasha, especially their fight in the locker room. Or anytime Noelle was like being harsh to Akasha. Gasp reactions, and then her witty comeback, it was just like, oh, you kill me.
Because I think like, yeah, there's a lot of like, even though the characters are both very like, they have extreme personalities, but they have extreme personalities that clash with each other. So even though they're friends, it's like really interesting to see them like disagree and like kind of be friends, but like not really be friends. So like with Min and Akasha, it was really great because they were both very like extreme people who were like, you know, this is me and this is who I am, and I just go with this like 300%. But while Akasha is very like joking, right? Mm-hmm. She's just like, everything she says is a joke. And then Min is much more like very straightforward, serious, like, I'll kill you, like I would die for this, like
literally.
Yeah, so like seeing that clash of like, they're both running at like 300% all the time, but one is more like joking and the other one is like, you know, diehard, like serious stuff. So it's like, yeah.
I guess we could segue into talking about the four main characters. And there's also like a whole cast that are like almost as prominent as well. But we got Dia, who's a quiet, sporty, and during the course of the story discovers she's gay and is basically universally liked by the other friend characters. Mm-hmm. They got Min, or Minzio, for I guess their proper name, who as you're just mentioning, is super loud, super brave, kind of like a takes no shit, takes no prisoners sort of aggression. Yeah. And during the course of the story is falling for Dia, is super nonconformist to the, like, societal expectations of young girls. And the game even does like a time flashback to mm-hmm. like grade two when she's really struggling that with her parents. And then we also got Noelle, who's like an intensely hardworking student, parents with like brutally high expectations that think friends are a waste of her time. The friends are like intentionally wasting her time so that they can do better than her in school. Mm-hmm. To that degree, Noelle's kind of like internalized this to a degree and also hates being wrong. And then there's also Akasha, who I'm debating if she's my favorite. I think Dia might be. I don't know. But mm-hmm. She's basically the humorous, the meme star, super levity, if I'm using the word levity correctly, and is a troublemaker.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts on, I guess, I'm sure you have a lot of thoughts, but mm-hmm. I guess initial thoughts on the characters?
Yeah, I actually, like, I don't know. While I was playing, in response to your saying that, like, oh, you have a favorite, like, I think, like, every portion of the game, so every, like, there's different segments where you play kind of, well, it's not really from their perspective, but you get mm-hmm. to, like, make choices for
their
them.
Their dialogue choices, yeah.
Sometimes. Yeah, their dialogue choices. So, like, I think every segment I played, I was like, oh, this is my favorite character.
Yeah,
same. And then I got to the end, and I was like, I don't have a favorite character. Like, my favorite character is all of them because they're interacting with each other. I think this cast like bounces off each other so well that I think if you even took away like one of them, the story would not be as flawless as it is.
Yeah. Like I thought initially that, I hadn't played through the game before I played it, obviously. So I didn't know if the writing was going to hold up through the whole game, mm-hmm. which it ended up doing. But with Noelle, I was like, oh, they stuck her in there just to be, like, the brutally stubborn, annoying, smart character. Who's
yeah, like, someone to contrast. Yeah, someone to contrast all the other ridiculousness, right?
Yeah, but then you have a chapter where you're choosing her dialogue and whatnot. And by the end of the story, I was like, oh, I really like her. And I'm glad she got a lot of attention and, like, depth and experiences you got to see, like, together as a player and a character. Mm-hmm. So I ended up liking her a lot, too. So I was like, oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think initially she's kind of introduced as being, like, because she's being contrasted with Akasha so much to kind of highlight that difference in character. She's kind of posed as, like, a goody-two-shoes character. So Akash is doing all this crazy stuff, and Noelle's like, stop, like, stop, please. But
yeah.
I think as the story progresses, you get to also see, like, how over the top she is as well. I keep saying over the top, but it's just like she's like, I don't know. She's just like, she's got a lot going on personality wise and interest wise. And she does start, deviating from that, like goody two shoes, like party pooper character that I initially thought she was.
Yeah. Like they all had like really interesting, kind of character arcs. I think Akasha is probably the only one that was, she was kind of like the, static character, because she was like strong character wise from the beginning, whereas the other ones kind of developed, and you could like she was kind of already at the end of her development sort of thing before the story started, or at least her part was introduced early on. But the other three really got to see how they changed, and Akasha was a big part of that, so it's not like she was pushed aside or anything. I guess before we talk about the each of their development, because we kind of have to talk about the story a little bit, I guess we could kind of provide a gist of the story without spoiling the whole thing, because I definitely think if you haven't played this and you're listening to this, you should play this. It's so good. But to kind of give a premise of the story is, after that initial introduction of the characters between third and fourth grade, it goes to ninth grade, like present day, basically, for the characters. I think this is around like 2008, because at one point Dia is like, hey, did you hear about Obama? And they're like, yeah.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
And I forget what Noelle or Akasha was saying at that time about the election. Because Prop 8 passed as well. So gay marriage was revoked in California at the time. So they're like, yes, we can. It was like, but can we? Because Prop 8 got taken away. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so it's around 2008. They're in grade 9. And basically, we're introduced to them in their struggles through high school. So Noelle, you know, not athletic, Dia quiet, but very athletic, and eats Noelle's lunch, or at least the good parts of it. And then early on, they're getting out of the gym class situation, like we mentioned earlier. And then they're recruited to go into baseball. I guess one very important thing I'm skipping is I totally skipped a very important, probably the most important part of the early story is between third and fourth grade, Dia meets this new kid around, I think at the baseball game, named Min, because Dia is super into baseball. This game like orbits around baseball as one of its big aspects and things it's working off of. And so Min, in between third and fourth grade, is at a baseball game at the time, and I guess throughout the whole game, Noelle is her best friend, and Noelle's not present at the baseball game, I think, but Dia is up to bat, and it's mostly boys she's facing off with, so, you know, people are murmuring about, like, you know, she's not having to expect too much, and Min cheers her on like crazy. Actually, I think what I'm describing is a flashback.
Yes.
Am I? Sorry. Well, that's an important part. It basically is, that's how Min and Dia initially meet. Afterwards, Min introduces herself to Dia, gives her some seaweed paper to chew on, and then Dia is just like starstruck, I guess, from a like bad choice of words, but lack of better words, starstruck by Min, and introduces her to Noelle. But what we're seeing at the early part of the game is sometime after that, they're at a baseball game, like a professional MLB game or minor league, maybe. Dia, Min, and Min's brother June, and I think Min and June's father. And turns out Min is actually moving and hasn't told Dia. And so this whole scene basically is building up to that revelation and their commitment that Dia and Min will meet back up someday. And also, talking about knuckleballs, which are surprisingly important to this whole game. There's knuckleball pitchers in baseball, and how that ball is thrown, not to go on a wicked tangent on this, I just think it's so interesting that the game knows so much about baseball. But if you throw a knuckleball, it doesn't spin while it's traveling through the air to the batter, whereas most other pitches, which are all pretty much universally easier than a knuckleball, like a fastball or curveball, things like that, what keeps the ball's trajectory kind of like more of a straight line and keeps it on target is its spin, kind of like how a bicycle wheel, when it's in motion, helps keep it upright just due to physics. So it makes a ball easier to predict where it's going when it's spinning, because it kind of falls through with how you would think as a batter and experiencing hitting baseballs. Whereas with a knuckleball, it is not spinning based on how it's thrown. And so there's no spinning to keep it in a particular path. So it actually kind of moves oddly through the air until it gets to the batter. So it's extremely hard to predict. So these pitchers who can throw knuckleballs are often paired with a catcher who sits behind the batter and is on the same team as the pitcher. It's really hard to catch those sometimes too, because like, where the F is this freaking ball going to land in my glove? And if it bounces off, the batter can just run anyway, and then the catcher's got to throw it to first base if they can even scramble to get it. It's a huge mess. So pitchers and catchers involved in knuckleballs will often work together or get traded to other teams together as a duo. And so Min and Dia is kind of, this is kind of pitched by Min to Dia. They could be that. Min would learn to throw the knuckleball, and Dia, ever sporty, could be the catcher. And so later on in the story, without spoiling the whole thing, Min does end up back at their school and has learned to throw the knuckleball. And I don't know how much more I should spoil beyond that, but basically Min gets back into the school and is kind of wreaking havoc, trying to fit in with his friend group that she guesses she has to tolerate for the sake that they're all Dia's friends.
Yeah.
I guess without talking about the rest of the story, I mean, it sounds like we both liked it already quite a lot, but could you give any more detail on your point of view?
Just experience with the game, I guess, like,
or the story, I guess, in particular.
It's good.
Yeah.
it's good.
It's an interesting choice for how to plot these characters into a world with their traits and see how they develop off of what's going on.
Yeah, and I definitely think the plot of it is not complicated. It's more just these scenes between these characters as, you know, they realize things about themselves. But there's no some sort of plot or conflict that's or I guess the conflict is that Min likes Dia and Dia likes Min, but they are not they're not clear about that until closer to the end. But I guess that's the only sort of plot point really. But it's great because each scene, even though it's not it doesn't feel like it's progressing any sort of overarching plot, but it is kind of focusing on the characters and introducing us more to them, and teaching us more about them as they learn more about themselves as well. It's just it's a really great story, and I do appreciate all of the flashbacks as well. At first I'm like, oh no, flashbacks, blah, whatever. But I think they're all very, very well done, and they're all necessary to uncovering things about the characters. And they also do them at moments. They're not all at the beginning. They're not they spread them out a little bit, which I think is interesting, but worked really well the way that it was laid out.
Yeah, it was really, I'm just looking back, I'm surprised how well it was laid out and written, because I'm I don't know if the developers made games previously or what sort of the writing background is, but either they must read a ton and be into this sort of thing a lot, or they've got a lot of practice, or both, or whatever it is. It's I think it, because it was pulled off so well, that specifically is what really gets the game over the finish line in terms of me thinking it's really good.
Definitely.
Watching them develop through this, it's not some wildly far-fetched story. So watching them develop through that in their unique ways kind of held me in to the plot. And so for Dia, she's discovering that she's gay, and it comes out to her friends kind of one by one a little bit, and realizes she likes Min, and the rest of it is becoming comfortable with that. For Noelle, it's kind of shaking off her parents' instilled idea that friends are useless and blood-sucking, and puts aside her reluctances toward physical activity as well for the sake of her friends. There's a lot of things where they're kind of doing things for the sake of their friends or their group of friends. And I really like that too a lot, because it's pretty legit. Min and Noelle especially are I've been in some friends group where some friends will swear at other friends, but for how aggressive Min is, I thought that, I was like, would Noelle even go near her again the next day? But they kept hanging out with each other anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, oh.
Yeah, I think a really charming part of this game as well, it's like that the glue that is holding this group together is like what you were saying before, like is Dia. Like mm-hmm. Dia introduced all of them and a lot of them are like, oh, Noelle is her best friend, and like Akarsha like joined the group because they like she met Dia, and then Min also meets Dia and then is introduced to Noelle. And I think it's really great to see this character that is like cripplingly shy be the glue that is holding together this friend group or this social group.
Yeah.
Even though she herself is not social at all and like can't even like introduce herself.
Yeah, I feel
which
like,
I think is so cute.
I felt very relatable to her. I feel like I very often don't know what to say, but I just kind of talk anyway, hope for the best. And seems to go half okay usually, but if Dia is kind of doing the other avenue, I often think I might just do it too, is just not talk and just smile and sweat. And I was like, it is very relatable for her like social anxiety. In fact, I think during their baseball game when they're being recruited for the baseball team, that's when Dia first really meets back up with Min after having not seen Min for like 5 years, I guess it is.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're like introducing each other, breaking the ice, being like, "Hi, I'm Liz, and I really like eggs," or something. I think was hers, or no, maybe I saw that on Twitter. I forget.
I don't remember.
something ridiculous, and it's getting to Dia at some point, and then she runs away before it gets to her, and that's when probably the part of this game what I laughed the hardest is when she meets back up with Min. I think they run into each other in the locker room and starts playing the Titanic song, I forget what it was called, but with the broken like recorder.
Oh my god, I lost my mind.
Yeah, especially because like I think you, me, and Kenley Christopherson had an episode of
we did
IRL, and showed him that. And so I was instantly like, "Is this the one that we all died
it
over?"
Is.
And
it was.
And I was like, "That was perfect." And it was a very touching moment too. It was so touching.
No, it really is, because I think so. The moment that it's actually played is after. So like Akarsha runs into the room, and then she and Min actually start like fighting. But then afterwards, it's like, everybody calm down, like, we're all friends, it's okay, like, chill. And then they sort of make, like, a truce, kind mm-hmm. of, for Dia's sake, and that's when the music starts playing, which I think, like...
Are you sure? I think it was before that scene.
No, I'm pretty sure it's,
either
it's
way.
That part. Yeah. Anyway, but so, like... And, like, it plays later also in another yeah. scene between the two of them where they're, like, finally being
friends.
It was,
like, a good callback.
Yeah, so I think, like, I don't know. At first I was like, oh my god, this is ridiculous. This is, like, dumb but amazing. But, like, thinking about it, what other song would you have put there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what music would perfectly fit this, like, oh my god, this is so ridiculous and these characters are, like, I don't know, like, they're finding friendship and it's beautiful, but they're also like the most ridiculous,
yeah,
like
goofy situation.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like that's perfect. The Titanic theme on horrible recorder, like that's the perfect soundtrack for this moment.
Yeah, that and the ending were probably my favorite points of the whole game.
Yeah, it's really fantastic. Yeah, there's just like there's so many good moments. I think that's the charm of the game, is just these different scenes and how all of the characters, like what they say, what they do, how they react to each other.
Mm-hmm.
All
how
of this
feel,
screaming
like,
on the floor
stacks up against other visual novels you've played.
Oh, I think I have not played a lot of visual novels recently. So I mean, like we talked about Kimmy, and I really enjoyed that one. But I think like I did enjoy it because it was very like short and melancholy, and kind of like a quick little story. I think for larger visual novels that take more than maybe like a couple hours to finish the story, usually I get bored because it is a lot of text. And I think for a lot of people, it's not engaging enough to really keep them super engaged, or like you'll click through text really fast and not really read it and kind of skim it. I definitely think like Dream Daddy recently, I was very pleasantly surprised by the writing in that. So I didn't, or I played about half of it in like one, probably about half of it in one sitting, right. And wasn't bored at all and really wanted to read all of the text. And I definitely think for Butterfly Soup, even though it is 3-4 hours, like there's no part of it where I was like, okay, whatever, like let me click through really fast so I can get to the next bit. Like, I think each moment and each interaction and everything that everyone says is super engaging. And I also, even though you're not choosing like a bunch of like branches and like, you know, plot changing decisions or whatever, I think like the moments that they do decide to let you make a choice, like those are also very well timed to keep you entertained.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think what you were saying earlier about like, if you haven't played a visual novel, try this one. I definitely agree.
Yeah, and if you're curious about the name of the game, Butterfly Soup, it's actually brought up during the, well, I'm sure you might guess it's brought up during the game, but I was playing through and it's like, maybe it's just some random name they chose, but it's kind of a parallel, like when you're going through high school is a particular time of lots of change and development for people and finding themselves and whatnot, though for a lot of us certainly doesn't end a high school, but it's kind of parallels to butterflies and this, you know, start as caterpillar, then they go into a cocoon before they become a butterfly, and basically their whole body liquefies, apparently. I did not know that. I learned that from mm-hmm. this game, and they're basically a butterfly soup, and they got to go through that first before they can actually become a butterfly. I think the yeah. quote directly was I wrote it down. If you want to be a butterfly, you have to be butterfly soup first, which was really touching. I was like, oh
yeah,
you got
it's me. Very cute. So, during the story, like, Dia finds, a caterpillar, and they name it, and then later it's a cocoon, so they have this conversation.
Oh, that's right.
What did you name your caterpillar?
What were the options, I guess? Because you get to choose your dog's future name, too.
Yeah, but what it was, one of them was an Ace Attorney name, yeah. So I picked that one.
There was two other ones, I forget. I think I just named it, like, the shortest one. It's like Yochi or something. Or maybe it was the dog's
name. There's,
name.
Like... Yeah, I think, like, some of the most fun decisions were things where it just does, like, text swapping, but it's really funny. It's like, so you get to name your caterpillar. You also get to pick the name of the baseball team based on
what
the different... I picked Death Bagels.
Oh, me too!
Yeah, Death Bagels was pretty good.
Yeah, I was like, oh, everybody seems to be liking, like, the deadliness and whatnot.
Yeah, it was like everyone liked that one.
I was like,
gosh,
I'll go with that.
Yeah, it's just very good. Like, each of the... Or a bunch of the teammates, like, suggest names, and then you actually get to pick it. So, I really enjoyed that. And I also, like, there were a lot of Ace Attorney references, actually, in this game, which I super appreciated, since that is, like... Well, so, like, I mentioned Ace Attorney earlier that I've been playing some of them, but, like, those are very, like, unconventional and super, super popular visual novels. Mm-hmm. So it's a visual novel that takes place in a courtroom. So, like, you're dealing with evidence and, like, you're objecting and, like, you're basically, like, you know, like, cross-examining witnesses. So it's all text-based, but it's in this world of, like, lawyers and whatever.
Right.
So I thought it was really great that they referenced that a lot in this visual novel as well. So even, like, some of the sound effects were super similar. And even, like, you know,
that.
The... Yeah, when you were talking about, like, sorry, my microphone peaked. When you were talking about, like, Akarsha's gasp pose, that pose is actually also a pose that one of the original characters in the original game makes all the time, where she does a little, like, like, gasp. so when she did that, I was like, I'm pretty sure that's also an Ace Attorney reference. And I heard the sounds, and then later I could name my caterpillar, Miles Edgeworth. And I was like, oh, thank you. Like, thank you for confirming that I wasn't imagining all of these references.
That's the only reference I did notice, other than the Noelle's shock sound. I'm like, that ching.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's from that game too, but then I saw Miles Edgeworth. I was like, I know who Miles Edgeworth is.
Yeah, I think that was just a very good touch, like referencing an older visual novel in this one as well.
Yeah, there was quite a few references it pulls out, which I appreciate. I have a really bad memory for that sort of thing, so. Though it makes playthroughs for me.
There was a really great moment when Min is trying to convince a group of boys that she should be able to play baseball with them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like this little back and forth of like, of the boys being like, oh, did you hear, like, she plays video games? And then she's like, yeah. And they're like, what video game do you play? And she's like, Sonic 2.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Like, and then the text just says, like, they are convinced. Like, they're convinced she is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, just, like, little things like that I really enjoyed.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of... Oh, yeah, and, outside of just the story itself, I really like the art and whatnot. I was like, with these sorts of things where it's not going to have like crazy amounts of animation or anything like that,
mm-hmm, yeah.
It's kind of like you have to pick and choose what sort of art you draw, or not that I know a ton about development, but and when to do that during a scene where lots happens. And I thought that the decisions on that front were all really well made as well. And I really like the art and everybody's style. I was like, dang, I really like Thea's aesthetic. I was like, I should get a hat like that. That's I really like that. And the like Under Armour after the sweatshirt. Like, that's so smart.
Yeah.
I definitely, if you do pick up the game, anybody that's listening, I definitely recommend pitching the $5 for the art PDF. It's basically art book. I've got the thing here in front of me scrolling through the 30 pages. It's pretty serious. It's in terms of like what you're getting with that purchase. I really enjoy this.
Yeah. So it's great to support the developer.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious if like, we'll see, keep seeing more visual novels in the future. Like I'm guessing this one came about thanks to like previous, ones kind of picking up steam in terms of the amount that you're seeing come out. So, I don't know. I'm hoping people give it a shot because I thoroughly enjoyed the like 4 or 5 hours I spent with it. I kept being surprised how long it was, not being like, oh, this keeps going on, but more of just like, oh, sweet, it's not over in like an hour. And also I couldn't figure out like, where is this game going to call it quits sort of thing in terms of the story it's presenting. And so I thought it's like, oh, by the scene it was happening, and I was like, okay, this might be it, and I hope it is because it's so happy right now.
Yeah.
And so... from beginning to end, all well put together.
I definitely agree.
Think of any criticisms too much, considering it is also, it's free. If you don't want to pitch in anything, it's totally fine. I don't know. It kind of surprised me.
I think for me, I think the only like criticism I would have is that because it is a fairly short game, and the developer does address like some pretty serious topics, like on top of, you know, like coming out, learning about yourself, friendship. They also address sort of like bad family situations, like abusive parents and things like that.
Right.
So I think like these scenes, because they were not centered around this group of friends and their growth, it was more just kind of like in establishing, like, this is what they're dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
So I felt that those scenes were done pretty quickly and very, like they're very sort of like dramatic and extreme.
Yeah.
So I did feel like maybe some things some of the parents said were like maybe like way too direct or things like that. So I felt like those scenes maybe could have been stretched out a little longer. But at the same time, I appreciated their brevity and how upfront they were.
Yeah, that makes sense, because like from like drivers had come across those sorts of. They're not these verbatim experiences, but they tricky times with parents for sure in their lives, and a lot of them are like a slow build up over time, multiple instances where it's worse the next time, oh, maybe a little bit less bad than the next time, and sort of thing. Whereas this one will show in like all in one scene or like two scenes, to a high degree, to kind of emphasize like how like instilled this bad experiences is in a particular character's past and how much it influences them, like Min in particular. So yeah, I agree with what you mean. I guess I was kind of thinking about that while I was playing. I'm sure you were thinking about that as well, that from a development point of view, it's like, well, I'd have to make like, you know, 4 more scenes of this, and is that going to distract from the rest of the game that I can't just elongate as well? And so it all kind of balance of constraints, I guess.
Yeah, I definitely like, yeah, I appreciated the brevity, but I think they did feel like maybe just a little abrupt at point, or like too extreme.
Yeah.
But those are again like sort of like flashback moments that the developer is choosing to actually show and not just have the characters talk about, which I think is more powerful. Yeah, and I think also like something that we didn't talk about that much because we don't have experience with it, but that the game covers is like growing up as an Asian American in the United States. So where they live in California, the characters are all of Asian descent, but are growing up as Asian Americans in this community that is primarily Asian American. So like when they're kids, they start saying things like, oh, like, how much of America is Asian American? And they're like, probably like 90%, because yeah. I've only seen like 5 white people and I know like one white person, or I see them on TV a lot, but that's because Asian parents won't let their kids become actors, right?
Yeah.
So things like that, that, yeah, is not something that, you know, I've really experienced, but I think it was like another thing that really affects the characters, and, you know, how they're going about their lives and how their parents treat them, which is also important to their growth.
Or even how strangers treat them on the street.
Yeah. And how strangers treat them. Yeah, exactly. Which I think is a great thing that we get to see sort of like their internal thoughts about those things as well. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 100%. That was all really well done, and I hope more games kind of take a perspective like that. Like I'm sure a ton of this game pulls directly from the developer's background, and mm-hmm. I hope more, as diversity increases in the industry, I hope more of them get direct input on you know, the content they're putting out
mm-hmm.
from the personal experience perspective. Is there any other areas you can think that we would be good to cover?
I think that's it. This game was so great. I'm going to probably make Mike play it. and I have been telling everyone that I know that they should play this game.
Perfect. Yeah, I guess that's kind of my final thought on it, too, is yesterday, one of the group chats I'm in on Facebook Messenger, I was like, hey, random game recommendation for y'all. You should definitely pick up Butterfly Soup for these several reasons, etc. And they're all like, oh, yeah, I've heard about that one. And it's like, oh, that sounds very up my alley. And it's like, yes, you should check it out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very happy with the game. I think I'll probably play it again at some point, since I don't really like the art. The story, of course, as we've discussed, super good. And the music was really nice, especially the Titanic callback was hilarious. There's lots of hilarious moments.
Yeah.
These characters, like, yeah, they're super great.
Yeah, I agree.
And would you like to say your farewell?
Yeah, thank you guys all for tuning in. Please, please, please check out Butterfly Soup. It's really fantastic. So throw a couple bucks at the developers so they can keep making awesome games.
Mm-hmm. Thanks so much for listening. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Hey listeners, once again, this has been our final episode. We had an amazing time doing the show and would like to thank all of our listeners and Will of MonsterVine.com for allowing us to partner up in the first place. If you'd like to still catch the crew of Indie Complete online, you can catch us all on Twitter. Jamie is at JamJams, that's JamJams. Spencer at Spencer_MV, that's MV for MonsterVine. Francesca at Chesky, which is CESCHIII, three eyes, which is also her Twitch channel, and me at Kyle Haste. For Jamie, Francesca, Spencer, and myself, bye for now.